Well, praise God. Did you enjoy the worship? Give the Lord a big hand, please. For those of you that have been coming for a while, you know that we've been speaking on what we would loosely term spiritual warfare. And why is it important for us to know these things? No, it's not to glorify the devil. There's nothing about glorifying the devil. The fact of the matter remains that the Word of God says our warfare, look at your neighbor and say, your warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's not against him, it's not against him. She's way too old anyway. It's not against her, it's not against her. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers in the heavenly realms. Now here's the thing. Who's that speaking to? Is it addressed to a bunch of Satanists? No. Is it addressed to a bunch of unbelievers? No. Is it addressed to a bunch of heathen? No. It is addressed to the church, the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Here's the scripture. Your warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's just a way of God explaining to us how the satanic realm is structured. Satan is on top, and then he's got a bunch of generals, and then he's got a bunch of lieutenants, and then he's got a bunch of sergeants, and then he's got a whole bunch of foot soldiers, which is generally what gives you and I a hard time. And God does not want us to be ignorant when it comes to the way the enemy operates. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Do you know that the devil is called the thief? You know, I was listening to somebody the other day telling me that in their business, money kept disappearing. And they did not know where this money was disappearing to, because according to them, everything was supposed to be okay. But more and more clients came and complained that money was disappearing. And then came a day when this lady, she had actually counted the money, and she knew exactly how much money she had, but at the end of the shift, she counted it, and there was quite a few hundred rands missing. And then she understood that the clients were complaining for a reason, because there happened to be a thief working there with everybody. So she set a trap. She marked the money. She wrote something on the money. And she left it there. And when she went back a little bit later, lo and behold, a whole bunch of notes were missing. And she knew nobody had left the office. So she locked the door, and she made everybody strip. And of course, one person refused to strip down. Guess who that person was? That person was the thief. And the moment the thief was exposed, the problems stopped. Now here's the thing. Satan is exactly the same. Right now, he's busy stealing from a lot of people, but we don't necessarily know that he's stealing from us. And God wants to expose what he does, because when what he does gets exposed, he loses power and the problems stop. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say to you that most Christians in South Africa have an idea that the devil messes with people, but not church people. You find him up there in deep, dark Africa. Oh, yes. Where people throw bones and howl at the moon and do stupid stuff. Oh, for sure there's demons there. But Rian, come on, you have to just, we church people, you know. I'm baptized. I'm saved. I speak in tongues. Guess what? The devil is only remotely interested in that witch doctor, because the witch doctor's soul belongs to him already. He's only remotely interested in that Satanist, because they've already sold their soul to Satan. The people that he is really, really interested in is the ones that he lost to the kingdom of God. Because you see, here's the thing. Satan has figured out something that a lot of us don't seem to understand. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a lot of potential in you. Oh, my friend, if only you could understand. There is a heck of a lot of potential in you. You see, there was a time when the apostle Paul wasn't called Paul, he was called Saul, and he made it his life's ambition to destroy the church, which was definitely gratifying to Satan. And then he had an encounter with Jesus. And after his encounter with Jesus, everything in his life got turned upside down. And the greatest persecutor of the Christian church became the foundation of the Christian church. He became the man that went out and led the Gentiles to salvation. Now, if that can happen once, how many of you know God can do it again? So you see, here's the thing. You might be another Paul. You might be another David. You might be another John the Baptist. You never know. Your mother's eyes just went that big. I wonder why. Thing is, the devil knows that he should not underestimate anybody. So guess what he does? He does exactly what the Bible tells us. The thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's exactly what the thief does. But you see, sometimes we have this mentality that the thief steals from bad people. And I'm actually quite good. The devil's not going to steal nothing from me. My friend, it's got nothing to do with any of that. The thief comes after you when you become a threat to him. And you know when you became a threat to him? The first time you became a threat to him was when you were born into this world. The second time you became an even bigger threat to him was when you began to understand your need for salvation. You accepted Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God entered you. Because Paul had a similar experience, we call it a bekering. He became born again. And God changed his life. And because his life changed, thousands of people's lives changed. You think the devil likes to lose people? No, he doesn't. Now, getting back to the story that I opened with. There was a person working in this office that was a thief. And for quite a long time, they got away with it. There were signs here and there, but it took a while to put two and two together. But there came a day when the thief was exposed. And you know what? Nothing stopped until the thief was exposed. Now you see, it's exactly the same when we deal with the devil. Demons work undercover. They've all got 007 written on their foreheads. They work undercover. They don't want people to know that they are working. They want you to blame your wife. They want you to blame the children. They want you to kick the dog. They want you to blame everybody but Satan. One of the biggest lies that the devil loves that gets perpetrated in the church is that because we are Christians, the devil can't touch us. My friend, where you find that stuff in the Bible? It's not in my Bible, and I've been through it quite a few times. But yet there are so many Christians that propagate this, and when you start talking to them about the devil, they actually start fighting with you, and sometimes they can get actually quite violent. The one day I was in a coffee shop having coffee with a group of ladies. And a pastor came and sat there. And he knew who I was. And he began to ask a couple of questions. And he was going in a direction because he was one of those people that does not believe that Christians can have demonic problems. Yeah, he preaches grace. Because of the grace of God, everything is perfect in your life. Not because you got to deal with your rubbish. And he began to ask me questions and he began to say things like, "Oh, but you know what? It's not like this and it's not like that." And I said, "No, where you find that stuff in the Bible? This is what the Bible says." The next moment, this man jumped up and he tried to punch me. But it wasn't the man. It was the spirit, the religious spirit, which falls under the spirit of the Antichrist. But he calls himself a pastor. But he would not accept what the Word of God says. Then we don't argue no further. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear. Let's not argue about religious matters. It profits no one. We're not going to argue about the Word of God. It's black and white. You take it or you don't. It's your choice. But it's best for you to know. Because here's the thing. The more you know about the Word of God, the more you know about the kingdom of God, and the more you know about the kingdom of darkness, the more the Holy Spirit will expose the darkness. And here's the thing. Demons who fall under Satan, who is called the prince of darkness, like to work in darkness. You want to clarify something? What? Yes, that's true. 5 years later, he's had an epiphany. His eyes have opened and now he wants to learn. Well, bless God. God is good. Amen. I don't blame him, because sometimes we need to learn a couple of things along the line. That's just the way life is. Now, here's the thing. Satan is called the prince of darkness. Demons operate under him. They like to work in darkness. In other words, they like to work in secret. They like to work behind the scenes, and they do not like to be exposed. The moment they get exposed, they begin to lose power. Now, how do they work behind the scenes in a Christian's life? Well, you see, they give us all sorts of problems that we tend to accept as just, that's life. But it's not. You see, when Jesus spoke these words, he said, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He added, but I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, here's the thing. Abundant life is available to us, but the more thieves you have in your life, the less abundant life you are going to have. And you see, there's a lot of people that end up cursing God because they say the word of God is not true, because God makes false promises. No, he doesn't make false promises. He started out by telling you there's a thief. And the insinuation is very clear. Until you do not deal with the thief, abundant life cannot be yours. And there's a lot of people that don't like to deal with the thief. You have to. You know, I know it's not nice to think of the fact that there is a war going on in your life. You don't have to think it. You can see it. If you just sit still and you look at your life and you look at certain things that have happened, it's clear that there is a war going on. And you see, here's the thing with a war. If only the one side fires, the other side is going to lose. Do you know how many Christians lose the battle all the time because they refuse to fight back? You know, the word of God never says God fights for you. The word of God says you resist the devil and the devil will flee from you. Now, that's your problem. A lot of people refuse to fight back. And then they keep going on their knees. Oh, Lord, I got all these problems in my life. Oh, Lord, where are you, God? You don't care about me, are you? You obviously have favorites. No, God doesn't have favorites. There are some people that apply the word correctly and other people that make like it doesn't exist. And until you don't start doing what God's word tells you to do, you cannot have abundant life, yet it is available to you. Let me help you to understand something. Let's talk about salvation. John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The word eternal life, that puts a smile on your face, doesn't it? Let me see the smile. There we go. This reminds me, I have to share this. I was in a church in Cape Town and I was praying for people. And there was a woman that the power of God began to move in this church. Now, those of you that have been around when demons come out, there's normally a palaver. There's a bunch of screaming and performing and shaking and rattling and rolling, and there can be all sorts of manifestations. And in this case, there was some vomiting. It happens. And she was sitting right in the back of the church. And when this demon manifested in her and it came out quite violently. And it wasn't just the demon that left, her false teeth also left. And you know what? It just happened that she was in the middle of the aisle coming forward because she felt something was going to happen. And here comes these teeth rolling down the aisle. Click, 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 click. And everybody was just looking at it. And here comes the lady running, running, put her teeth in and gave me this big smile. Well, praise God, she got delivered that day. She got delivered that day. She was beset by a crippling spirit. If I remember correctly, she had a deformed leg. She hadn't been able to walk properly for something like 8 or 10 years. That day God delivered her. That day when that spirit left her, her leg was healed and she started walking normally. Amen. And that's kind of like where I want to go today. I want to talk to you about how these things operate. You see, the devil does like to work in darkness. He doesn't like to be exposed. And sometimes because we don't know the truth, either through lack of knowledge or through trying to be clever and thinking like, oh, but it doesn't work like that, it doesn't work like that, it doesn't work like that. It's got nothing to do with what you think. It's got to do with what the Word of God says. Some things are not open for debate. It's factual. There's a devil. The devil messes with everybody. He messed with Jesus, for goodness sake. He gave him a hard time. And for in case you think that he only gave him a hard time once, I actually just need, let me just quickly see if I can find that very quickly. And then I'll come back to where I am now. Let me show you this. In the book of Luke. All right, I don't see it so quickly now, but here's what I want to say to you. It says there that when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left Jesus until an opportune time. Do you hear that? He did not just come once. The Bible doesn't tell us how many times he came. My personal opinion is he probably came a lot because Jesus was making a big problem in Satan's kingdom. Because where Jesus went, demons came out of people, sick people got healed, things turned for people. Probably people that were cursed and, you know, under the witchcraft or sorcery of the day was delivered and set free. Now, the devil doesn't sit still when things like that happens. He actually fights back. Oh, do you know that he fights back? Go read the book of Revelation chapter 12 from verse 10. It says, there was a war in the heavens. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and the dragon fought back. Have you ever seen that? You see, the devil, when you say boo, the devil doesn't go, oh. He will first try you. He will see whether you know, whether you believe, whether you understand. He will try his luck. And that's why sometimes you got to fight a bit longer to get the breakthrough. But you will always get the breakthrough because God will honor his word. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It doesn't say pray for 1 minute, pray for 2 minutes, pray for 3 minutes and it's gone. Sometimes you got to resist for a day or 2 days or a week or a month. But the fact is, if you do what the Word of God says, you will always get victory and you will have a breakthrough. So now, the thief likes to work in darkness. There are a lot of people who are suffering and we sort of assign the problem to natural circumstances. Because that makes sense to our mind. You must understand, spiritual things don't always make sense in the mind. The Bible says, natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they must be spiritually discerned. Now, if the Holy Spirit must be spiritually discerned, then demons must be spiritually discerned as well because they are also spirits, just like the Holy Spirit is a spirit. And if you want to understand how that works, natural man, or the King James Version says carnal man, refers to the mind. It's the soulish man which refers to the mind. There's a lot of things pertaining to witchcraft and sorcery that makes no sense to us, yet it works. I've prayed for a number of people. When a spirit of witchcraft manifests in them, the weirdest things can happen. I have seen people vomit live frogs. Explain that. You can't. I have seen them vomit spiders, live spiders. Explain that. You can't. I've seen them vomit worms, live worms. Explain that. You can't. I've seen them vomit roots that obviously was growing inside of their body because these roots have tentacles going everywhere. Explain that. You can't. Because spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And the more you think about these things, the more you're going to come up with, oh, that's rubbish. Oh, it can't be like that. It doesn't work like that. No, it does. But it's spiritual. Amen? It's spiritual. So, let me give you a scripture. I'm going to read to you from the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, the people brought Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying hands on each of them, he healed them. Okay, that sounds pretty amazing, isn't it? They brought him a lot of people that had various kinds of diseases. So we could say that there were some epileptics, there were some people suffering with cancer, there were some diabetics, there were some people that probably just had the flu, there were some people that had severe migraines, there were some people that might have had scoliosis of the back, there were some people there that had heart problems, liver problems, kidney problems, etc., etc. Jesus laid hands on them, and the Bible says they were all healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that's the acceptable part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Everybody wants sick people to be healed. Now let me show you the unacceptable part that most churches kick against, because it doesn't stop there. Then it says, let's start from the beginning. When the sun was setting, the people brought Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and laying his hands on each of them, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of people shouting, "You are the Son of God." Now listen carefully. We are already told that all the people got healed, but now we are given some more information that is pertinent. Some of the people got healed through deliverance. They did not receive physical healing. Let me put it to you another way. They did not just receive physical healing. The physical healing came about because of a spiritual change that took place inside of them. Their symptoms were physical. The source was spiritual. Now here's the thing. Most people, in fact, everybody in this place probably accepts the fact that sometimes we get sick. Sometimes we get funny diseases and weird symptoms and epicornis and whatever you want to call it. We all have these things. Now, sometimes we just accept that this is my cross and I have to bear it and blah, 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 blah. But with a lot of these people, that was a lie, because they weren't sick. They were oppressed by an evil spirit. And when Jesus laid his hands on the people, they expected to be healed, but some of them actually began to manifest the presence of evil spirits, because their sickness was not a normal sickness. They needed deliverance. Here's the problem. A lot of Christians and a lot of churches are not open to the ministry of deliverance. Because the understanding is that because I am a child of God and the Spirit of God lives in me, demons can't be with me at the same time. But that's wrong. Look at what happened when Jesus prayed for these people. They were expecting to be healed. They were. But they were not expecting to be delivered. They were. And nothing has changed. The same thing happens every day. Somewhere across the world when people are prayed for. But we have to understand how spiritual things work. Let me give you another scripture. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, and he healed all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He healed people who were under the power of the devil. If the people were under the power of the devil, what is the scriptures telling us? What was with them was not sickness, it was satanic power. And they were healed. Who brought the healing? The Holy Spirit. You see, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit still wants to heal people today. But a lot of people will not accept the way in which he wants to bring the healing. Because it's like, oh, but I can't have things like that. Oh, Rion, you must be crazy. I shared with you a testimony in the beginning of the series. A pastor brought his wife to me many years ago. His wife suffered from manic depression. She knew that sometimes when I prayed for people, demons and evil spirits would manifest. So the first thing she told me when she walked into my living room was, I want you to understand, young man, I do not have demons. I said, well, ma'am, I never said you do. That remains to be seen. But anyway, we spoke a bit. Let me teach you something about Jesus. You don't really find Jesus walking up to somebody, placing his hands on them and casting demons out of them. And that's also not the right way to handle things. Jesus spoke the word. He preached the word. He taught the people. And as an extension of his teaching ministry, he then set the captives free. Why is that important? Because the scripture tells us, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. To just walk up to somebody and put your hands on them and rebuke the demons in them, no truth has entered them yet, therefore they cannot be set free. Therefore you're wasting your time. I know quite a few people that go from house to house, and this is what they do. They bash into that house, start telling everybody, get rid of this and this and this and this. Then they put somebody on a chair and they start rebuking the devil. And sometimes there's just big problems that come. Can I tell you why? Because that's not the biblical way. You have to preach the word. The word must enter. The word begins to change. The scripture says, you shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. It's not how loud you scream. It's not how high you jump. It's whether the word is entered or not. Amen? And when the word enters, something begins to happen. People begin to change. So when Jesus ministered to people, he ministered to them as an extension of his teaching ministry. People used to refer to Jesus as teacher. Why? Because he felt it was important to teach people. When somebody does something wrong, you have to teach them to do things right. In the church today, there is sometimes too much motivational speaking and not enough teaching. We need teaching because people are doing stupid things and they are paying for it with their lives, and we are giving them a good sermon about the grace of God and just keep doing what you're doing because everything's going to be fine. Rubbish, it's not going to be fine. The Bible says give the devil no place. If you're giving the devil place by the stupid things you're doing, the thief is always going to run away with your blessings and you're going to end up cursing God for that. That's not right. You have to hear the truth. We have to teach. And sometimes in the process of teaching, probably we have to step on your toes just a little bit because you're doing things wrong. And you have to be taught to do things right. So here's the thing. He says, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and how he went about doing good, and he healed all who were under the power of the devil. So a lot of the people that were healed by Jesus were simply under the power of the devil. Now, let's ask a question. Does the devil somehow just, boom, get power over your life? No, it's unbiblical too. Because the scripture warns us, give the devil no place. Where Satan is found, a door was opened for him to come in. He doesn't just come in. You know, it's a little bit like the story of the three pigs and the bad wolf. He's outside, they're inside, and he's trying to do something to get inside. He's going to huff and puff, and if possible, he will blow your house down. But probably what he's trying to do more is he's trying to con you into opening the door for him to come in. We all have divine protection from the demons and evil spirits and you know, all of that type of nonsense. And even if somebody does witchcraft against you, there will be signs that something is wrong. What must you do? Start praying. What must you do? Start fighting. Why? Because that's where you get your victory from. Just as an interesting anecdote, this Sunday I had a very, very interesting service. In fact, I had no service. Because all hell broke loose even before my service started. You see, we had somebody coming there from a satanic background. From what I understand, and you can help me if I'm wrong, it has been insinuated that she was a bride of Satan at some point in time. Say again? Yes. But did she bring a lot of chochos there? Oh my goodness, yes she did. And while the worship was going, while we were busy worshiping God, I tell you what, the pot began to stir big time. And the next moment there was just manifestations. And by the grace of God, everything got sorted out. A lot of things happened and a lot of people got helped. But the fact of the matter is that spirit was there to cause problems. You see, she brought the spirit of the Antichrist into the meeting. Now, what does the spirit of the Antichrist do? He's anti-Christ. So what does he do? He tries to stop the anointing. He tries to bring confusion. He tries to bring doubt. He creates unbelief. He distracts people. They can't focus on what you are saying. Some people start feeling weird. Some people start feeling sick. Why? Because he doesn't want people to focus on the word. But the Holy Spirit had other plans that day. Guess what? The fire of God began to fall in that place, and the devil got a hiding. Praise God. How many of you know God is good? Amen. Now here's my question. Were we looking for it? No, we weren't. We were simply doing what God called us to do, but the devil came to look for it. But we were willing to put our foot down and say no. And the devil had to leave. And he did. Praise God, he did. Let me give you another scripture. Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 10. On the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, listen to this carefully. Remember, I started off by sharing with you this woman whose false teeth came flying out, and she had a crippling spirit because her one leg didn't work normally. And when it was cast out, she was fine. Now, here is a similar account. We don't know exactly what the extent of this woman's problem was, but we are told very clearly that she had a crippling spirit. Okay, no, actually, I think later on it tells us what it was. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. Okay, so she was like a hunchback. When Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Okay. It seems she was just healed, but she was not just healed, because if you read the entire passage, it says here, there was a woman there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Was her problem physical or spiritual? Her problem was not physical, yet your mind will tell you, that's physical. It wasn't. And the way to deal with the problem was to pull out the root. The root was the spirit. So when Jesus laid his hands on her and she was healed through the demon leaving her. And then we find the next passage. It says, then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath take his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath?" If there was any question, that settles it. For 18 years, this woman had suffered an infirmity that was accredited to, in Jesus' own words, to Satan. Now, how many people are walking around with stuff, let's just call it stuff, issues, that are not physical, but spiritual? And the only way to deal with it is to deal with the spiritual side. I want to tell you, so many, it's millions. And this is not just about infirmity. Getting back to the woman, the pastor's wife. She came into my house and the first thing she told me is, "Young man, let me just make something very clear. I do not have demons. I have depression." Fair enough. The symptoms of depression are all there. Then I began to teach her. Remember, I said to you, teaching is very important, and Jesus taught. Now, the thing is, I've noticed something over the years. When we read the Bible based on our background. If you come from an NG background, you read an NG Bible. When you come from an RGS background, you read an RGS Bible. When you come from a Catholic background, you read a Catholic Bible. Even though the Bible says the same thing to all of us, your background determines how you relate to things. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So here's the thing. There's a lot of people that read the Bible with these blinkers on. You know that they put on the horses so that you don't see this and you don't see that. You sometimes read things in the Bible because you were taught that this can't happen, that can't happen. It's like, you just skip over that. It doesn't sink in. Now that's a problem because that truth you are disregarding. You are pushing it away. Because sometimes it's because your church taught you that way. Other times because your father said it's impossible. Other times because somebody told you that can't happen. So now in your mind, it's like, push that away. But that truth needs to enter because that truth is the only truth that can help you to be set free. So I taught her. She and her husband were there. Her husband's eyes were this big because he'd never heard of this stuff before. No, he did. He just never accepted it because the way he was taught, that's impossible. The more I taught her, the more she began to see that her, let's call it, religious views were in error in certain areas. It's difficult to argue with the Word of God because the Word of God is plain. Jesus said the following, just to make you think. Unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Children don't understand difficult concepts. The Bible is actually very easy. We make it difficult. Because we question this, we question that, we blah, 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 yeah, but this is that. No, just accept what it says. That's all. And so she came to the point where, all right, you can pray for me. Okay, fine, let's pray. So we pray. And the next moment, something begins to happen. Guess what? The demon that she didn't have appeared to have been there all the time. It surfaced. It began to scream out of her. And then I had the most interesting experience. It started off with the demon screaming. And then the screaming got even louder. Now you have to scream louder than a demon sometimes. The second scream came from the woman herself when she realized what was happening. And she started screaming at the demon. Get out of me! You've been lying to me all these years. And guess what? He left. A depression left as well. You see, for many years, from what I can remember, she'd had depression for over 10 years. She believed that she has a chemical imbalance in her brain and therefore she's depressed. And I don't doubt that she probably did have a chemical imbalance, but something was causing it. And she could not get healed until the thing causing it left. You see, the devil is a thief, and as long as he's there and nobody challenges him, he will keep robbing you of your peace, your joy, your sanity, your life, your love, your hope, etc., etc. Oh yeah, and he will rob you of your finances, let me put that out there. You know, when we talk about the finances, people are suddenly very open to listening. Yeah, but you know what, that makes a lot of sense. No, but he doesn't just rob you of your finances, he robs you of a lot of other things. And the thing is, we need to understand how the devil operates because we shouldn't allow him to get away with it. You know, in a lot of believers' lives, Jesus said, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the Bible says we should be walking over the devil's power. But experientially, when you look at a lot of believers' lives, the devil is walking all over them. Because they got nothing, they're going nowhere, they're stuck. They got no joy, they got no happiness. That's exactly what the devil wants. But that's not right. And therefore, we need to be taught the Word of God. Let's look at another scripture. I'm sure you all know this one, and I use this one a lot, but it's very powerful and it brings the point across. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, we find another account where Jesus was going to pray for somebody. Verse 22, it says, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and dumb, and Jesus healed him. Okay. It's very exciting when somebody gets healed. It's wonderful when somebody gets healed. But I want you to listen to exactly how this man got healed. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was both blind and dumb. And Jesus healed him. Now, in order for Jesus to heal this man, what had to happen? Well, he had to be delivered from the demons causing the problem. And what was the problem they were causing? They manifested blindness and muteness in this man. And you see, yes, this is where I said to you that the Bible says spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. How is it possible for you to be blind when there's nothing wrong with your eyes? It's easy when there's a demon in you. The demon does this. He closes your eyes. Demons understand the human body very well. Let me help you to understand something. The same demons that are on the earth now was on the earth when God created Adam and Eve. Demons can't die. So they've had 6,000 years to study human beings. They know how your brain works. They know how your heart works. They know how your pancreas works. They know how your colon works. They know everything. And they have a pretty good idea of how your mind works as well, because they've studied us for generations. They know what causes fear. They know what causes fright. They know what causes terror. They know what causes depression. They know which buttons to push. They're brilliant at reading us and abusing us. And that's why when you got these things in your life, you're going to have problems, whether you like it or not. They're much cleverer than you and I. But compared to God, they have no wisdom at all. And therefore, in Christ, you can conquer anything. Amen? Anything. Now, getting back to this. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 22, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was both blind and dumb. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And the people were all astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons, that this fellow drives out demons. There you know now exactly how the man got healed. Jesus cast the demons out. When the demons left, the man began to speak and the man began to see. It doesn't have to make sense to your mind. It works that way. Spiritual things are complicated. You just have to accept it. That's the way it is. And that's why we need help. The Holy Spirit has to help us. And the Word of God has to enlighten us. Let's go further. Jesus knew their thoughts and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? Jesus, he just says to them, listen, yeah, your logic is flawed. You claim that I, working with Satan's power, is casting out Satan's power. Then explain to me how evil in this world has propagated to the point that there is so much corruption, badness, sickness, etc., etc. If demons constantly work against demons, the kingdom of Satan would have collapsed a long time ago. So there is only one way that I could truly be casting out these demons, if I work through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and he says this. If I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's very important. Who of you have ever in your life prayed the Lord's Prayer? Okay, let's quickly go back to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, let's quickly look at something there. Jesus says, when I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come. How many times have you asked God for the kingdom of God to come? Okay, you say every day. So let's say in the last 10 years, if you've done it every day, then you've probably done it a couple of thousand times. There's probably some of you, yeah, that's also done it a couple of thousand times. I remember when I used to be a small little chokerki and I went to school. We used to open every morning with the Lord's Prayer. We used to close every day with the Lord's Prayer. Okay? If I add all of that together, I have prayed the Lord's Prayer a couple of thousand times. Now, some of you, yeah, have prayed the Lord's Prayer a couple of thousand times. Going according to what Jesus said. What if God tomorrow decides to answer your prayer? And in your church, the kingdom comes. And demons begin to manifest all over the place. Are you going to be happy or are you going to be upset? I want to tell you something. The religious people in that congregation are going to be highly upset. But they're wrong. Because it is simply God answering prayer. Because Jesus says one of the manifestations of the kingdom of God coming is demons leaving people. And I want to tell you something, we desperately need the kingdom of God to come in people's lives and in our churches, because right now the devil is very, very busy. The thief is running away with a lot of people's blessings. The thief is running away with a lot of people's joy. The thief is running away with a lot of people's prosperity, life, hope, health. The list is endless. And a lot of people blame God for that. No, it's not God. The Word tells us who the thief is. The question is, what have you done to deal with the thief in your life? You see, most people are waiting for God to do it. It's unbiblical. God doesn't deal with the thief. Jesus dealt with him on the cross. Finished law. You now need to pick up that authority and that power and deal with him in your own life. And until you don't do that, nothing is going to change. The message that I'm preaching you tonight, the devil doesn't like. Because it exposes how he operates. And it shows you what to do. And I want to tell you something. When you begin to put your foot down and say, I will not let the devil walk over me anymore, things in your life is going to begin to change. To resist means you got to do something. Prayer is one thing. But a lot of people in their prayers are simply asking God to do everything. That's not the answer. Sometimes we got to fight back. You know, I've often said to you, the devil doesn't shoot blanks. Well, you don't shoot blanks either. But you got to pick up the weapons of your warfare. The Bible says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every believer has weapons. That doesn't mean every believer uses their weapons. Getting back to John 3:16. Because just now I interrupted myself, but now I've remembered. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Okay. Using that scripture, let's quickly just take it apart. Let's break it apart. For God so loved the world, all inclusive. That means Africa, Asia, America, Europe, China, Australia, Russia, New Zealand, yes, even New Zealand, for goodness sakes. All the world, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, that means Afrikaans, English, Engia, Baptist, Catholic, Portuguese, never forget the Portuguese. I agree. The fact that we're standing here has something to do with one of their ships cruising past here. That's it. There we go. For God so loved the world, all inclusive, that whosoever, all inclusive, believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Okay. Does that mean everybody has eternal life? No. Because there is a condition that needs to be met. Eternal life is available to everybody. But eternal life only belongs to those that take it and make it their own. Now, deliverance is exactly the same thing. Jesus conquered Satan on the cross. Jesus conquered every curse on the cross. The Bible tells us that through what Jesus did on the cross, we will no longer suffer under the curse, but we inherit the blessings of Abraham. Does that mean you have the blessings of Abraham? No. Some people take it, and some people don't. Some people apply the word of God, and some people don't. And that's what confuses a lot of people about the Bible. Yeah, but the Bible says this. Okay, but what you might not understand is it's conditional. Have you met the conditions? No, then you can't have it. Meet the conditions, and it's yours. Eternal life is available to you and you and you and you. But eternal life only comes into your life when you receive what God gives you. Deliverance is exactly the same. You don't have to live with your demons. You can be delivered of your demons, but you have to rise up in the authority of Christ, take authority over them, put your foot down, repent of all your nonsense, and command them to go, and they will leave. Most people never do that, so they'll never get delivered. All right, I've probably finished my time, eh? All right, we're going to stop here for today. Here's all I want you to take from today. The devil is a thief, but he steals behind the scenes. He steals in a way that many times we will assign it to normal things. You know what? All these headaches that I have, you know, it's stress. People have stress. Everybody has stress. That's life. Deal with it. No, sometimes it's not stress. Sometimes it's got nothing to do with anything like that. Everybody in my family has kidney problems. I must just accept the fact that I'm going to have kidney problems. Genetically, I'm weak. No, you're not. Probably there's a generational curse in your family that can be conquered. For God, nothing is impossible. But we have to apply the right tool for the right job. Somebody said to me in this week that somebody that comes to our meetings, family members of theirs, had a heart attack. From what I understand, the gentleman is not very old. How old is he? Sian. How much? He's 46. But then it also surfaced that his father and his grandfather or something, or his uncle, more than one person in his family have already died of a heart attack at a young age. Now what is that? That's not normal. That's a spirit. So what needs to happen? The spirit needs to be dealt with. I know I've shared this before, but let me just end off with a testimony. Many years ago, a gentleman came to see me. He was one of seven brothers. There was only two brothers left. At the time that he came to see me, from what I remember, he was about 50 years old. At that stage, his other brothers had all passed away from heart attacks. He sat there, he explained the situation to me. I said to him, you know what, that doesn't sound so lacquer to me. I'm pretty sure that there's a thief stealing from you guys, and I don't believe that this is normal, so we're going to pray about it. Well, I led him in a prayer to renounce the spirit of heart attack, sickness, infirmity, curse of destruction, whatever it might be, and we began to pray, and guess what happened? In front of my eyes, he fell off the chair and started manifesting a massive heart attack. He stopped breathing. He went blue in his face. He was grasping his chest. I tell you what, I prayed like I'd never prayed before. It's amazing how much faith you develop when you're in the dwang. It's like, wow, let's pray. But the demon came out. Now, before that day, he had already had three or four fairly substantial heart attacks. Interestingly enough, that year his son was working at the Rand show. He went to donate blood. When they saw his history, they sent him for a checkup. They had some doctors there. They did all sorts of tests on him. Do you know what they found? They could not find that he had ever had a heart attack. His heart was as healthy as an ox. Before that, he could hardly do anything. He didn't have heart problems. He had a spiritual problem. And the spiritual problem came out. And he was healed. Amen? Amen. Did somebody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.